Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel, if you will, chapter 5. And we're going to read a couple of verses there. Then we're going to read a verse over in chapter 6. And you might just go ahead and open your Bible also to Acts chapter 24, all right? Acts chapter 24, we'll get over there before too long, all right? So those two places especially, Daniel chapter 5 and chapter 6, and then over in Acts chapter 24 in the New Testament. Going to speak to you tonight on something I think that's, it's missing in far too many lives. We need it. We need more of it. I think most of every one of you here have had it at one time or another, but we need to feel this again. It needs to be strengthened, I believe, with all my heart. So if you're there in Daniel chapter 5, look at verse 5. The Bible said, "In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another." Now, Daniel, then chapter 6, if you would, verse 18. The Bible says here, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him." In Acts chapter 5 is Belshazzar, who was in the top position. In chapter 6 is Darius the king. But I want you to notice that what we have in both instances are their examples of Holy Spirit conviction. Examples of Holy Spirit conviction. Conviction is that which comes about when God gets hold of a man or a woman and he won't turn loose. And I tell you, it's missing in the lives of too many people today. I want to ask you, when was the last time you really felt the strong, convicting power of the Holy Spirit? Just think about it. How long has it been since you felt that kind of conviction where God got a hold of you and just would not turn loose? Just wouldn't turn loose from you. Hey, it's a sad thing today. We're able, as Christians oftentimes, as people, we live our lives. We do our thing. We go to church. While we're there, we may listen to the Bible lesson. We may hear the preaching of the Word of God, but we never seem to change. Never seem to change. You see people that go over and over again to the house of God, but yet nothing seems to change very much in their lives. You say, well, what's wrong? Well, that convicting power is missing, all right? There's something missing there. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, "We're to be not conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds." Okay? I think a lot of time the renewing of our mind, that's one thing that comes about through conviction, and it is people with conviction think differently. Think differently. If you've got real conviction, you're going to think differently. So I want to give you tonight four things about conviction, all right? And I want you to just take a look, examine yourself. And when I give them, you're going to think, man, that's simple. Well, it is simple. Amen. Not anything intricate. It's not anything, confusing. It's a simple thing. Number one, conviction will convince you. It will convince you. Real Holy Spirit conviction will convince you. I told you we were going to go to Acts 24. Let's turn there, all right? Acts 24, if you will, over there to verse 25. The Apostle Paul is preaching, and he's before Felix. He's preached to him before. He's there again the second time. And this time we get to verse 25, and the Bible says, "And as he," that's Paul, "reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way, for this time When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Hey, Felix trembled the same reason Belshazzar trembled in Daniel chapter 5, because of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, those two fellows trembled for the same reason. You see, Felix was convinced by what Paul preached to him. When Paul got to him and he reasoned to him of righteousness and temperance, judgment to come, boy, he's giving him the scripture and the word of God, and it got into him to the point that it caused him to shake. Why? Conviction fell upon him. And it caused him to, he was convinced. Hey, that's the purpose of conviction. The purpose of conviction is for you to be convinced of the truth of the scripture. That is the purpose of it, that you might be thoroughly convinced of it. Not halfway, not almost, but thoroughly convinced, all right? So look, nothing happens, nothing changes until we get convicted. Nothing happens, nothing changes until we get convicted. We had revival services with Dr. Gipp. He preached to us, and that just stands out. One thing I'm reminded of, he spoke about the Word of God and reading the Bible. And he challenged us to just sit down and read 10 pages a day. Now, most people stagger at the thought of one page. All right, we stagger at the thought. Now, I don't think the message is that you're a low-down, dirty, sorry, child of the devil if you don't read 10 pages a day. But I'll tell you this. If we get convicted about the importance of this book, we'll read it. We'll read it. It is just that simple. You see, conviction comes upon us, convinces us that's true. That's true. People that we knock on their door and we talk to them about coming to the house of God, about being in church. Hey, members of this church haven't been spasmodic in attendance. You say, why don't they come all the time? There's some of you sitting here, you're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Week after week after week. Why? Because you were convicted that that's what you ought to do. You got convicted. The reason people can come spasmodically is they've never been convinced that God means what he said in the book of Hebrews when he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. They've just never been convinced that really means what it says. I'm not convinced God means that. It's interesting to me, the very next verse is the one that says, if we sin willfully. Now I'm thinking, Lord, are you really tying that to that verse in front of that? If we sin willfully and we don't attend church the way we should, we don't gather together as we ought to, that's willful sin. Say, how'd that happen? We're not convinced. We're not convinced. You go to the doctor and the doctor tells you, look, you need to change this habit of yours. The only way you change it is if he convinces you. He convinces you. If he doesn't convince you that it's important. Now the problem with some people, they don't get convinced until too late. Amen. Till too late. Listen, conviction is meant to convict us and convince us of the truth of the Word of God. Hey, look, that's what's wrong with all the positive-only preaching that's so popular across the land today. There's no conviction, so there's no change. No change. Listen, if somebody, all they do is brag on you, what does it do for you? What does it do for you? You have little children, and all you ever do is brag on them, brag on them, brag on them. You're going to have a spoiled monster. You're going to have a spoiled monster. Now, should you brag on them? Well, when they do right. Should you when they do right. But man, listen, if that's all you do, they'll never change. They'll never be. Nothing will happen. Hey, if it's positive only preaching, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. Why? Because we never get convinced, because we never get convicted, all right? And it's our reaction to that conviction that makes the difference. You remember what it said there in Acts chapter 24, verse 25? What was the reaction of Felix to the preaching of the Word of God? The Bible said he trembled. But sadly, that's the only thing that he did. He just trembled. Amen. He just trembled. You say, what do you mean? Because Felix's reaction was later. Right. Look, Paul, you go your way, and when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. And maybe we can discuss this again. By the way, you read over a little chapter or two later, and they were together again. And this time, Felix doesn't talk about being convicted. He said, Paul, you're beside yourself. You're mad. Really, he's saying, you're nuts. You're crazy. But he didn't get right. There's no evidence that he ever got right, all right? Hey, his answer was later. Now, you and I, you mark it down, we'll answer to God one day for what we decided when we were under conviction. We're going to answer to God one day for what decisions we made when we were under conviction. You had the Word of God preached to you. The Holy Spirit convicted you. Now, I got saved because they preached and they taught the Bible to me when I was a kid. And I got under conviction about it. And the Lord just stayed after me and I got saved because of that conviction. That's the reason I got saved. I didn't get saved because I just wanted to stay out of hell. I got saved because I was under conviction. I was a sinner and I deserved to die without Christ. I deserved it. But I knew if I'd trust him. So that conviction came upon me. Thank God for Holy Spirit conviction. Man, thank God for the time since then. But we're going to answer to God for what we do. What do we do when we're under conviction? Hey, the proper reaction to conviction puts you in the proper relationship with the Lord. If we'll just make the right decision. All right? Because God deals with it. God deals with. If he deals with us about sin, the thing to do is come confess it. Amen. Confess it. Don't say, well, I just want one more round. Don't be like Pharaoh when he was asked, okay, when you want the frogs to leave? Tomorrow. No, man, when the conviction comes, that conviction comes. If it's sin, get right with God, man. Get down there, confess, Lord, ask the Lord to forgive you. Hey, listen, it doesn't have to be some terrible, in the eyes of man, terrible sin, but you know you've done wrong. You know you haven't done what you should. Then just confess it to God. Get right with him and make it right and say, we're going to change that. We're going to change it, Lord. I'll make that change. You forgive me, and I'll make the change I need to do. That's what conviction ought to do. If God calls you to something, the proper reaction is, Lord, here am I, send me. That's the proper reaction. Lord, here I am. Here I am. It's me. I'm ready. I'll surrender to you. That's the proper reaction to conviction, okay? That's just it. Not to put it off, not to say later, deal with it. All right? Number one, conviction will convince you. Second thing about conviction will correct you. Conviction will correct you. You see, conviction is sent to get you where you need to be. That's why God convicts you. Hey, Felix, he was convicted. He needed to get right with God. Agrippa, God dealt with Agrippa, and Agrippa told Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I believe Agrippa was under conviction from the Holy Spirit, and God dealt with his heart. He said, almost, but almost didn't get the job done. He didn't get saved, all right? Felix could have got right, but as far as we know, he didn't. Agrippa could have got right, but as far as we know, he didn't. It was their choice. You see, conviction is sent to get you where you ought to be. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 6, would you? Daniel chapter 6. Here we are in chapter 6. Now, in case you're not familiar with what's going on, this is Daniel and the den of lions, okay? Daniel and the den of lions. When we got to verse 18, and you get to verse 18 there in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is in the den with the lions. Darius has allowed himself to be maneuvered into a situation where he had Daniel cast into that den of lions. And in verse 18, he's pacing the floor all night long because he can't sleep. Because of the convicting power of God upon him. Now I said conviction is sent to correct you. Look in verse 24. It corrected Darius. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Hey, he got right with God. The next morning, you read, remember, he went back and he said, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I believe with all my heart, old Darius was praying, Daniel, I sure want to hear your voice. Because I was wrong. And if you're still there, I can fix it. But if you're not still there, I can't fix it. Hey, listen, Holy Spirit conviction sent to get Darius where he needed to be, to correct him. It was Darius' decision to get right because of that conviction that God sent to his soul. God sent it to him, man. Stirred him up. Boy, how many times has God done that for you? How many times has he done that for you? I don't know how you feel about it. I've told you before, as a preacher, I like to be preached to. I like to be preached to. You say, well, you just like to get up there and harangue everybody else. No, as a preacher, I like to get preached to. And I remember many times going to hear somebody preach to me and knowing that I needed the preaching of the Word of God, all right? And I would seek that out. And when that preaching boy brought conviction, I wasn't unhappy. I wasn't sitting there thinking, I should have stayed home. I don't need this. Well, I do need that. I do need that. Hey, listen. One time a woman told me, said, I'm not going to a church where the preacher yells at you. I don't need that. I knew a little bit about her, and I thought, yeah, you do. You do need that. You need the preaching of the Word of God, so maybe the Holy Spirit of God break through that old hard exterior of yours and deal with your heart. Hey, listen, I didn't go here preaching, and then when the preacher nailed me, the Holy Spirit used what he said to deal with my heart, I didn't get mad at the preacher. I didn't say, man, I wish I'd just stayed home. I wouldn't have had to feel like this. No, thank God for that feeling. Thank God for when God does reach down and put his finger in your life and say, there's the problem. There's the problem. Brings conviction. Man, because of that conviction, I was able to get right, all right? I was able to get correction. Listen, we need conviction. Conviction will convince you. Conviction will correct you if you will make the right decision from that conviction. But there's something else conviction will do. Something else it'll do. Conviction will commit you. Conviction will commit you. Let me give you a biblical example and a biblical illustration. The Apostle Paul, when he was known as Saul of Tarsus. Now he was a persecutor of the Christians. And he was good at it, worked hard at it. And one day he was headed down the road to Damascus with papers in his hand to go after some Christians there. And boy, God dealt with him on the road to Damascus. God spoke to him. God picked him out and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I love Saul's reaction when he said, who art thou, Lord? He knew who it was. He knew who it was. You know, who art thou, Lord? Boy, the Lord dealt with him. And he said, what do you want me to do? Why? Conviction. Conviction. Now, we don't have any idea. I guess if you were to pin me to the wall, and I have no scripture to back this up. I'm not preaching it. But if you were to back the wall, I would think God had been dealing with Paul before, or with Saul before that day. Just little things. You know, if you'd have been standing there when they stoned Stephen, put yourself in that position. If you'd have been standing there when they stoned Stephen, holding the coats for those, now I didn't throw a stone, but I was holding the coats for those that did, and you saw a man stand there and take it, and lift his eyes to the Lord and say what Stephen did, you think you could watch that and go, that doesn't bother me. I just kind of think their old Saul of Tarsus, God just kind of pricked his heart that day. Pricked his heart a little bit. And God continued to deal with him. But boy, when he got him on the road to Damascus, he got his full and complete attention. Conviction came. And that conviction did something to Saul. It made him commit himself. He said, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" Listen, a committal of yourself. You say a committal to do what? Well, for one thing, to change. To change. Take your Bible, Luke chapter 10, would you? Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 down in verse 8, all right? Luke chapter 10, verse 8. That's the wrong verse. And it's the wrong chapter, too. I love it when I can't even get the right chapter, much less the right verse in there, all right? But I want to talk to you about old Zacchaeus. The Bible said, he was a short little fella, and he couldn't see, and he climbed up in that sycamore tree to the Lord to deal with him, and the Lord spotted him, brought him down out of that tree, and he began to talk to him, and he wanted Zacchaeus to do something. And if you remember, Zacchaeus came down from that tree, and the Lord said, "I'm going to your house today." One of the things Zacchaeus said was, "I'm going to make things right for those people that I've mistreated and I've cheated." You see, Zacchaeus made a commitment to change, a commitment to change. Conviction will cause you to make a commitment. How many times have you walked the aisle, knelt at the altar, and committed yourself to make a change in your life? Well, I tell you, say, "Well, I don't remember ever doing that." Take a look. Something bound to be dealt with, all right? There, man, you made a commitment. I'm going to change. When I many times walked the aisle, and it was, "Lord, here I am. I'm sorry. I'm going to change what I'm doing. I'm either going to quit doing what I'm doing, or I'm going to start doing what I should be doing." But it was a commitment. It would have never changed in coldness the decision you made when you were under conviction. Let me say that one more time. You ought to never change in coldness the decision you made when you were under conviction. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" I mean, when the preaching's hot and you're being dealt with, and God speaks to your heart, you walk down, you make a commitment to Him. You say, "Lord, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that." You make that commitment. Then you walk back and you start marking that change in your life. But down the road a little bit further, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe years, you ought not to change that commitment because you've gotten cold and you've gotten away from God. You ought to stick with that commitment. "I made that commitment when the Holy Spirit was dealing with me." Man, under conviction, don't change it when you get cold. Don't change it when you get cold. Listen, that's what happens to some people. They're in love, man, okay? "I'm in love. Let's get married." We get married. You get into it a few years down the road, and somebody says, "Well, this ain't, you know, I'm a little bit aggravated." And then you change your mind and you say, "Well, I'm not in love. I don't love you anymore." Well, what do you mean you don't? You don't love them anymore. That's okay if by that you mean I don't love you any less, okay? But not, "Well, I changed my mind about it." No. You made a decision back there, okay? You stick it out. You stick it out. When God deals with you and you make a commitment to Him, you stick with that, even though you go through a time in life where you think, "Well, I'm not sure about that." Wait a minute. Were you under conviction with the Holy Spirit when you made the decision? Then stick with that decision. Don't back out of it. Don't change it. Hey, there's a lot of Christians that need to change. A lot of Christians need to change. They ought to feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you ought to commit yourself to keep yourself clean before God. That's a hard thing to do in this world. Hard thing to do in this world. Just to stay clean. Commit yourself to stay faithful. "I'm going to stay faithful to God." Man, I don't know how you feel about it. If I miss church, I feel terrible. Amen, I feel terrible. I mean, if there's some reason down the line that I have to miss church. I feel terrible. If you say, well, you were sick. And yeah, I think the last time I missed church, not too long ago, struggling with a kidney stone, you know, I did not feel good at all. But I felt worse because I missed church. Just felt worse because I missed church. Man, I hate to miss it. Hate to miss it. Coming up, got a procedure. I hope it doesn't make me miss church. That's why I scheduled it for Monday. You know, Monday. Hopefully by Wednesday night, I won't feel so bad anymore that I can't come and be in the house of God. Hey, commitment. Conviction. Conviction will convince you. It'll convince you. You can count on it, man. Conviction will convince you. But not only will conviction convince you, it'll correct you in life. It'll correct you. Conviction will also commit you. But here's the last thing. You're looking for this point in the message. Here it is. Go with me to Genesis chapter 39, all right? Genesis chapter 39. Very familiar passage of Scripture, a familiar, well-known story. Some of the young'uns that are here tonight might even be familiar with this story. Probably been taught it in Sunday school at some point already. Genesis chapter 39. Look, if you will, with me down in verse 7. Here's Joseph in Potiphar's house. And it came to pass in verse 7, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Conviction. Conviction. And it came to pass, as he spake to Joseph day by day, that he did not start listening. He did not consider it. He didn't begin to weigh the possibilities. He hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. So why? Conviction. Amen. Conviction. You see, conviction, it'll do the things we've said. It'll commit you. It'll convince you. All right. It'll correct you. But you hear me, it'll concrete you. And I couldn't come up with a better word. All right. It'll just harden you. Amen. It'll harden you. To this point. Look, we need to be solidified in this matter of convictions. It needs to be solid. It doesn't need to waffle. Man, the reason Potiphar's wife couldn't get through to him. Now, I believe Potiphar's wife was probably a very good-looking woman. She was about as good-looking as anybody in the land of Egypt, I imagine. You say, why? Because, man, I'm sorry, but there have always been those women that would do anything for the position and power and wealth, and Potiphar had it. She didn't necessarily have to love old Potiphar, but she said, I'll marry you, I'll be your wife, because of what it's going to bring me. And boy, she was trying to think of a word that's decent, all right? There's no decent word to describe her, okay? No decent word to describe her. She went after him. And old Joseph, though, man, she couldn't move him. Why? He had some convictions. And those convictions had solidified in his heart and his life that he never even considered it. He never considered it. You read what he did. He stayed away from her, all right? He did his best to just be as far from her as he could and to make it as simple and plain. He had stated the case to her. He didn't need to state it again. He said, why didn't he tell her again in verse 12? It didn't do any good in verse 9. How is it going to do any good in verse 12? He did what he should have done. He got out of there. Amen. Why? Conviction. Conviction. Man, how much we need that kind of conviction in our life. Listen, if your convictions are right in your life, then your life can stay right regardless of what the devil throws at you. Regardless. If your convictions are right, you can stay right. You say, well, preacher, what about this preacher we hear about? He messed up. His convictions weren't right. His convictions weren't right. Hey, listen. Remember that verse 2 of Romans chapter 12? Be not conformed to this world. This is the saddest thing in the world, but I'm convinced there's a lot of Christians are conformed to a set of standards, but they're not convicted about it. They're not convicted about it. When I was a kid, if you'd ask me, why don't you do this? I'd say, because my dad said not to. My dad said it's wrong. I mean, go down the line with it, whatever you want to. Well, why don't you go to movies? My dad says it's wrong. I don't go to movies. Why don't you dance? My dad says it's wrong. Why don't you smoke? My dad will smoke me. You said, why don't you do these things? Because my dad said this. It wasn't my conviction. I was conformed to my dad's standards. I was conformed to my dad's standards, but there was no conviction. Now, as I got older and I was taught the Word of God, and the Word of God was preached to me, those things that I was conformed to his standards began to become a part of my life. Because God began to convict me about the Word of God and relationship to Dad's standards. All right? His standards were right because they were biblical. They were biblical. So it solidified in my life. Solidified there. Hey, listen. If your convictions are what they ought to be, then you can stay right regardless of what the devil throws at you. You say, well, I couldn't help it. The devil caught me in a weak moment. Wait a minute. What about your convictions? What about your convictions? God convicted you down the line. You made a decision. Why haven't you stuck with it? Why haven't you stuck with it? Why'd you quit? Why do you use an excuse? Well, so-and-so or this and that, all right? Hey, where are your convictions tonight? Are you under conviction now? God been dealing with you about something? God been speaking to your heart? Hey, have you gone back on some convictions because your heart got cold? Just got cold? If somebody were to come to you and say, why do you do this as a Christian? Or why don't you do this? What are you going to say? Well, my mom and dad raised me. That's the wrong answer. Be honest with you, that's the wrong answer. Well, my preacher says, that's the wrong answer. Wrong answer. Well, my Sunday school teacher says, the wrong answer. Well, my church believes, that's the wrong answer. Well, I think that's the wrong answer. Wrong answer. Say, well, what's the right answer? The Bible says. The Bible says. You see, folks, listen. This is where conviction comes from. Preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit makes it real in your heart, and he deals with you about it and says, that preacher's right, that book's right, and what he's saying and what it says is correct. You say, why don't you do this? Because the Bible says. The preacher, why don't you go to movies? Because of what the Bible says. So why don't you dance? Because of what the Bible says. That's why. You go down the line, name anything you want to about what I do or don't do. So why do you do it? Because the Bible says. Bible says. Convictions. Hey, you hear me? Belshazzar that day or that night was convicted by God to the point the Bible says his knees were smiting against each other. Darius was convicted that night to the point that he couldn't sleep. Could not sleep. He walked the floor. Old Felix was convicted to the point that he trembled. Could I point out to you, only one of those guys did the right thing. Only one of them did the right thing. convictions, they'll convince you. Okay? They will. And they should convince you. They'll commit you. They'll correct you. And they will conquer you. You'll get them inside. What about your conviction tonight? Have you gone back on them? You let them slip just a little bit down the line. And you think, well, I've got a justifiable, watch out now. Watch out. Did the Bible change? Did the Bible change? If it didn't change, your conviction ought not change. Right. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight you'd help us. Lord, help us see the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that we'd be people that we would not fight the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. But Lord, that we would allow that Spirit to deal with us. Lord, we'd allow you to move in our heart and to move in our life and bring conviction. Lord, help us where we need to be corrected, where we need to make things right. Lord, where we need to make a commitment to you, you want us for a particular service. You want us to do something. There's something maybe we need to change. Lord, help us to react correctly to that conviction. Lord, just deal with us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together, if you would. Let's turn.